Tonight I want to talk to you on the topic, leave to live. You know, tonight we're going to take some time to observe communion together in a little bit. But it's very interesting because when Jesus was leaving the disciples, they were sad. And they didn't understand that in order for them to step into this new life, not only did Jesus have to live, not only did he have to leave so that they could step into this new life, but they were also going to have to leave some things in order to live this new life. And tonight I want to really get practical with this, because the reality is that the beauty of following Jesus is that it unlocks the potential for an entirely new life, because it empowers us to leave the old one. Now, I want you to hear this from Scripture, lest you think I'm giving you an opinion here. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says, "And you he made
alive."
You he made alive. Now, I know some of us are going, who? Who, me? Right? "You he made alive." But watch what the Scripture says. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the one who, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Let's leave that verse up for a moment. I want you to consider what the Scripture is saying here. The Scripture is saying that we were once stuck. We did not know any better. We did not know there was a life to leave. We did not know that there was a course, a way to this world, a mindset, a spirit by which this world operates apart from Jesus Christ. My friend, whether you know this or not, apart from Jesus, everyone is stuck, ourselves included. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you are living apart from a consciousness of Christ, when you are living independent of the Word of God, you can't help but mess things up. Somebody say, leave to live. We got to leave some things. We got to leave some things, right? So the Scripture shows us that we were once stuck, and this place called stuck is defined by this word dead. It's deadness, right? We couldn't break free from the ways of this world, and here's the reality. We could not break free from Satan's influence. Now, you know, sometimes we open those doors in our own lives as Christians. You know, the devil can't play unless you give him a sandbox. You do know that, right? Unless you provide a sandbox for him to play, he can't play in your sandbox. But sometimes we open those doors. You know why? Because we don't leave what we're supposed to leave. Right? And so, most people stuck in life outside of a relationship with God are not stuck because they don't know, they don't want God. They're stuck because they don't know how good God is and the new life that is possible. I've shared this here at some point, but a couple of years back, I was taking a course in, this was many years ago. It was a philosophy course when I was doing my associates way back many years ago. It was a philosophy course, and we were looking at Plato's allegory. Plato's allegory is basically a philosophical allegory that is meant to illustrate how there is more outside of our own understanding, right? And so in Plato's allegory, I won't get into the whole details, but basically there's a group of guys that are stuck in a cave. And there is a fire in that cave, and that's all they've ever known. And so they would see these shadows that would pass by the outside of the cave, and they assumed that those were real entities, like it was really a person, like there was really, and they were afraid. But one day, one of the guys breaks free from the cave. And he steps outside the cave, and these guys are telling him, "Don't go, don't go. It's dangerous out there. Don't go. You stay here with us. This is what life is really about." He steps outside the cave, and he realizes that the shadows aren't even real. that there was an entirely new world, a different life, something so much more than life in the cave. And for some of us, if we never step into the realities that the scriptures begin to teach us about our identity, about how we're supposed to live, about the changes we can make, about the power that we do possess, about the big God that walks with us, if we don't step outside the cave, we'll never realize that. We'll never see the power of that in our lives. Tell somebody, leave to live. Listen, you got to leave some things in order to live. Matthew 4, 19 through 22 puts it this way. Jesus called out to them. He's calling the disciples. He says, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And watch what the scripture says. And they left. And they what? Left. They left their nets at once, and they followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, what? Leaving the boat and their father behind. I want you to see that if you're going to follow Jesus, you also have to leave some things. You can't follow Jesus if you're not leaving something. Somebody say, leave to live. Yeah, you got to leave some things to live. Sadly, people have become great at leaving what is important instead of leaving for what is important. Right? There are people in record numbers today leaving their church, leaving their marriage, leaving their children, leaving their integrity, leaving their legacy, leaving their relationship with Jesus. And they're leaving all these other things, right? Instead of leaving, you fill in the blank, for their church, for their marriage, for their children, for their God. Now, lest you think I'm giving you an opinion here, the Bible gives us many examples. It teaches us that if we're going to fully follow Jesus, the first thing we must do is leave. Moses left Egypt to meet God in the wilderness at a burning bush. Abraham left comfort to follow God, not knowing where he was going. Ruth left her family to stand by Naomi, not knowing that it would lead her to her destiny in the lineage of Jesus. Paul left his religion to discover relationship with Jesus. Peter left a life as a fisherman to become a fisher of men. And Jesus left heaven for you. Somebody say, leave to live. You got to leave some things to live. Now, let me tell you that one of the most significant challenges to following Jesus is not leaving anything behind. Here's how it usually works. I love Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. Man, I'm sold out for Jesus. And praise God, you are. By the way, don't miss this Sunday. Bring a friend, because we're going to be continuing in our series, Big Steppers, and we're going to be talking about really this area of how faith grows and some things that it takes. Back to the message tonight, I want you to consider that we get all excited about Jesus, but we don't leave what we've known because it's so familiar. And so we try to live in this place of mixture, right? It's like oil and water. My friend, it don't mix. Let me say this the way God would say it. It ain't gonna work. It's not gonna work. See, if you don't live it, if you don't leave it, you will live it. If you don't leave it, whatever it is, you will live it. You will live it. You can love Jesus till you're blue in the face, but you will never live the life that he's called you to, because there you won't leave it. You won't leave your anger. You won't leave some people. You won't leave some mindsets. You won't leave some habits. You won't leave some ways that you've been brought up. You won't leave the very things that will complicate the journey going forward. Somebody say, leave it,
leave it.
To live it.
To live it.
Yeah. If you haven't left anything to follow Christ, you may have religion, friend. But you may never become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I need to hear this tonight. I love Pastor Jose. I just needed to make sure we're still on the same page, because that's a tough one, man. Like, I got insulted listening to that myself. Right? That's a hard word. It's a hard word. See, saying yes to Jesus means saying a definitive no to people, to things, and here's the toughest one of all, desires. Desires. Yeah. You got to leave some things if you're going to live this. Because if you don't leave them, you will live those things. Jesus put it this way. You can't serve God and mammon. Right? Now, he was talking about the spirit, the mindset, the belief system, the ways of Satan that lead us to pursue money, to pursue riches, to pursue those selfish desires. He says, you can't do that and follow Jesus. You know why? Because you're stuck. You're sitting in a rocking chair going forward and backwards, but you ain't never going nowhere. Somebody say, leave it to live it. Luke 5, 37 through 38 says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine, somebody say new wine, must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. What are we getting at here? What is Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us that if we sacrifice the new work he's doing in us by trying to contain it in our old ways and thought patterns, we will ruin the work that he has done on the inside and see the former life we're trying to maintain burst as well. It does not work. It does not work. Friend, let me ask you a question. This is something that we all need to really consider, myself included. Are you focused on the wineskins, or are you focused on the wine? The scripture says this. It says, you are a new creation, right? Old things, somebody say old things.
Old things,
old things have passed away, the scripture says. They've passed away. And then God says this, behold. Behold. In other words, stop and hold on to this going forward. From this point forward. So you are a new creation in Christ. Somebody say new creation, right? Say that's me. Yeah, that's you. That's right. That's me. That's us, right? So we are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, okay, there's a change that has to happen from this point forward. All things are become new. Are you following Jesus, but still living, believing, and thinking according to old mindsets? Because if we are, friend, I don't have to know your personal life. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anyone. I know this for a fact. You are frustrated with your faith. You are frustrated with your results. You are not experiencing life transformation. The Word of God is not making sense to you. You get pumped up on Sunday, and Monday comes, and from Monday to Saturday, you are gasping for air. You are waiting for God to do something, but my friend, He's done His part. All things are become new, but you've got to behold that. You got to hold on to it. You got to discover that. You got to pursue that. You got to get into some new circles. You got to feed yourself some new resources. You got to get around some faith-building people. You've got to listen to some faith-building messages. You've got to not only read your word, but you've got to get around people that live this word. And you've got to try some new things that are opposite of the old things, because if you don't, my friend, according to the parable and the words of Jesus, you will ruin your wineskins and you will waste away your wine. Think of it this way. Be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. What have you actually left? What have you left? Here's a deeper question for us to think about. What are you still holding on to that complicates your commitment to Christ? Let's go a little bit deeper. What things are you doing that get in the way? I mean, they're not bad things. They're not sinful things. But they're the reason why you're not involved in your church, why you're not in relationship with people in the church, why you don't serve in your church, why you don't give to the kingdom, why you don't get involved in anything related to the kingdom. Is there something there? Because if there is, friends, I can assure you this without even knowing your story, without even knowing what's going on in your life right now, your wine skins have burst, and you're just trying to gather some drops every week. So how do we leave what we need to let go of so we can live the life we've been given to live? How do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I've been thinking the same thing too. Right, I'm still trying to figure this out, right? I'm still on the journey like you. But I want to leave you with a couple of things to think about. Leaving something for Jesus is not a sacrifice. It's an investment. We got to have a mind shift here. Because if we look at what we need to leave as a sacrifice, then guess what? What that really means is, I struggle to let that go. I don't want to let that go. And that may be true. But friend, if you realize that what you're giving up is making room for something better, then it's like, there's no loss here. This is all gain. Let me put it to you this way. Giving up something now for something better later is not a sacrifice. It's an investment. So don't look at what you should give up to follow Jesus as a loss. Look at it as an investment. Look at it as an investment. Let's fast forward to a day when Jesus talks to a rich man about how to get to heaven, how to inherit this kingdom of God, how to live in this kingdom in that space, in that time, in that moment, in that now moment that he was having from that day forward. He tells Jesus that he had obeyed all the commandments, and then he asks, what else do I have to do, Jesus? Matthew 19, 21, Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, in other words, if you want to be complete, if you want to come full circle with this, if you really want to do this, is what he's saying. He says, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, let me just clarify something. For some people, they will teach this, and they say, you got to get rid of everything that you own. Jesus was saying this to him. And we're going to see why in a second. Because that was the thing that he would not let go of that was keeping him from taking a hold of what God had for him. So I am not preaching to you and saying, we're taking another offering so that you can let go of everything you own, sell your house, and give it all right now. We're not that church, right? If God moves you to that, praise God. But that's between you and God. My point, let me get back to the point here. Each and every one of us has something that we hold on to that we feel enriches our life. So we're all the rich man. It just depends what you hold as riches. Right? So, the rich young man, if you read the rest of the narrative in the scripture, would not follow Jesus because he would not leave behind what he needed to leave behind. So let's walk in again, Peter, right? Later on in verses 29 and 30, we're not going to read them. Peter says, well, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What are we going to get? And Jesus' response to him was, everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake. Now, let me just address the elephant in the room. This seems pretty harsh. But the question is, if that's what it took to follow Jesus, would you leave it? Would you leave them? Would you leave that? Like, really, would you? And let me just clue you into something, because we're digging into our hearts right now, myself included. If there's a struggle to go, man, I don't know that I could leave my possessions. I don't know that I could leave some of the people that are nearest and dearest to me. My friend, look at your heart and consider what you're really discovering right now. I know this is hard. I know, why you got to put it like that, Pastor? Right? Why you got to go there? You know, like, now I feel all bad and guilty. No, it's not about that. But it is about the question, are we willing to give up all for Jesus? Are we really willing? And so Jesus says, and everyone who's given up houses and brothers and sisters, a father, a mother, children, or property for my sake will receive, listen to this, 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be greatest then. Listen to what Jesus is saying, because in the original language, here's what Jesus says. Not only will you inherit eternal life, but you'll see that return in this life. The greatest investment that you could make is not in the stock market. It's not crypto. It's not in real estate. It's not a business. It's not people. The greatest investment you could ever make is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Greatest investment. Because no matter what you give up to follow that call, it will come back to you in so much greater measure. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. See, those who master the art of leaving will experience the miracle of multiplication. You will experience multiplication. You will. You will. Tell somebody, try it. Tell somebody else, try it. You're online, try it. Yeah, type that tag. Somebody, try it. Try it. I dare you, try it. I dare you, try it. The second point I want to leave you with here is that to leave something good, you need to cleave to something greater. To leave something good, you have to cleave. You need to cleave to something greater. What am I talking about here? Everything we struggle to leave seems good. I mean, come on now. Let's be honest. Oh, I just love him. Right? Man, I just love my people, my friends, man. You know, when we're in the club and when we're hanging out, you know, when we get together and, you know, I just love, you know, being in these spaces. I just love that drink. I just love, you know, just taking a toke. I just love the sex. I just love, and it just seems so good. It seems so fulfilling. But if it was fulfilling, you wouldn't have to go back again and again and again and again. It's not enough. It's not good. It is not good. See, everything we struggle to leave seems good, but we must remember that everything we leave to follow Jesus is nothing compared to what we will gain. So let's talk a little bit about leaving something good in order to cleave to something greater. To cleave means to attach, to become one with, right? In the original language, in way back in Genesis, God says to Adam and Eve, he says, and the two shall become one flesh. And it says, and the husband will leave his mother and father, and he will cleave to his spouse, to his wife. Hey, by the way, that's just a great tip for marriage, right? Some of us, we're cleaving to people so much so that we are cluttering our marriage. We're creating some problems in our marriage, right? She may be your mama, but she's not your wife. Yeah, he may be your daddy, but he's not your husband. The two become one. Jesus said, what God has put together, let no man, let no person tear apart. Right? That was free. Anyways, back to this whole idea of leaving something good so that we can cleave to something greater. Philippians 3:13 through 16 says this, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. I have not arrived, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Watch this. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So the Apostle Paul has his eyes set on something greater, right? He's leaving something so that he can live something greater. He says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Let me translate that for you. If you're still holding on to something that is creating a stronghold in your life and you can't let go of it and you can't move forward with Christ, you're not mature. Still some growing up to do. And mind you, maturity is not a destination. It's a continual process. So don't beat yourself up. But let's be real here, man. You know, at some point, little boy, little girl, you got to get your thumb out your mouth. We don't do that no more, right? We ain't getting no more baba. No. You got to eat some meat, right? And in the same way, for some of us, now you already said you love me, so I'm going to just say this anyway, right? Some of us need to take our bib off. Right? We need to take our thumb out our mouth. And we need to realize that, hey, it's time to start growing up and maturing. It's time to leave some things so I can live this new life in Christ. Right? So he says, if you disagree on some point, here's what Paul's saying, man, I'm going to leave that one to God. He'll make it plain to you. For somebody here today, maybe you're online, today's that day. Because you got it. It clicked. And then he says this in verse 16, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. I'm going to say that again, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. See, friend, you cannot hold on to progress until you leave something good to cleave to something greater. Yeah. Progress entails letting go of something so that you can behold and take hold of and move forward into something greater. Right? So when you meet Jesus, everything else is, as Paul calls it in another portion of Scripture, dung. You know what he's talking about? Poo-poo. Crap. Yeah. Pastor said crap. Get over it. Get your thumb out your mouth. You'll be all right. Like Paul, when we meet Jesus, our purpose and our pursuit become a person, not a position. Not pride, not power, not possessions, not popularity. Right? And so if you're going to leave something good, to cleave to something greater, my friend, you have to understand that that is the process of progress with God. You've got to leave some things. Question. Take 5 seconds with God. What's the first thing that comes to your mind that you need to leave? Now, that gave you more than 5 seconds. Let me just say something to you with full confidence. God just spoke to you. God just spoke to you. It could be some lying ways. It can be some bad habits. It can be a person. It can be some choices you've been making. Right? It can be some comforts that need to go that are not comfortable at all. They feel comfortable, but they're robbing you of the investment that God is calling you to make. What do you need to let go of, right? Somebody say, leave it,
leave it.
To live a new life. All right, now we're starting to get this. The last point I want to leave you with here tonight is that if you keep your vision behind you, you will wreck what's in front of you. I'm going to say that again. If you keep your vision behind you, you will wreck what's in front of you. You need to hear this right now, my friend, whoever you are online. You've got vision, but it's in the wrong direction. And right now in this moment, you're encountering God. And he's saying to you, the wreck is a result of the direction of your vision. And today I'm calling you to repent. Not to feel sorry, not to feel bad, not to cry, not to feel condemned or guilty. No, to turn around. That's what repent means. God's saying to you tonight, turn around. Because as you turn around, so will your vision turn around. And so will the direction of your life. I believe somebody here tonight needs to hear that too. See, don't look back to what you leave, friend. Keep your eyes on Jesus and what he has called us to do. As long as you're looking backward, you can't tend to what you have right now with Jesus. Listen, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I have done a new thing. It's right here. It's right now. There's a reason why you're in this church. There's a reason why you're in this group. There's a reason why you're now serving. There's a reason why you're now growing in relationships. There's a reason why things have been changing for you. There's a reason why these doors are opening to you. There's a reason why I've called you to this space, to this place, to these people, to these relationships, to this moment in your life. I'm growing you. I'm maturing you. But my friend, if you're looking back, you can't appreciate what God is doing right now. And now is not restricted to this moment. When God says, behold, all things have become new, he's not talking about those new J's you got that get old after a while and they get scuffed. He's not talking about the new car that depreciates the moment you drive it off the lot. He's not talking about that kind of new. He's talking about a new that never grows old, because day by day you experience new things with God. Day by day you're growing into new things with God. Day by day you're getting greater revelation from God. You're experiencing relationship with God in a different way, in a new way, in a fresh way. But friend, if your vision is on what you leave, what you've left, you will wreck your now moment with God. And for some of us, here's what we're realizing right now. Dag, all this time I've been saying, well, this is how life is. It's just hard. It's just like I can't get a break. Nothing's changing. And we're just thinking that that's the journey of faith. My friend, faith has challenges. It does. Challenges come to faith. But let me just be very clear. From the scriptures, we have great example that God does not complicate our life. There may be some complications that arise, but God's not the author of those things. You know when things become a wreck in our life? When our vision is misdirected. When we're focused on what we're leaving, what we've left, where we were, what it was like. You know, the Bible says that there was a man named Lot. He was a relative of Abraham, and he lived in the land, in a region of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities. And he was living there with his wife and his daughters, and there was great wickedness there. It was very evil. And according to the dispensation, let me just put it this way. According to the way God related to people in those times, this is before Jesus. So before Jesus, it was do good, get good. Do bad. Wow, okay, yeah, you got some problems, right? Yeah, justice was like, yeah, it's happening, it's going down. So this is before Jesus. This is why it was this way. So God looks upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and he goes, Gabriel, get the crew together. Michael, we're going to have to tear this place down, man, because it's just too wicked. They can't receive any truth. They can't receive my direction. They want nothing to do with me. Like, let's tear it down, burn it down. But through divine intervention of his uncle Abraham, God looks upon Lot and his family and he has mercy. So before they destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, these angels make a way of escape for Lot and for his family. But here's the specific instruction. Right? Here's the specific instruction that God gives them. He says, once you leave, here's what the angel told them. Once you leave, don't look back. Just look ahead. Just keep moving forward. Right? Well, the Bible says that as they're leaving, there's fire that's coming down from heaven. Right? We don't know exactly what that was, but what we do know is that when Lot's wife, as she's running with her family and they're leaving for their life to a city that the Lord had made provision for them to go there, Lot's wife looks back. And when she looks back, she becomes a pillar of salt. We don't know exactly why, but hey, God's ways are higher than mine's, than ours, right? We don't understand that, but it is what it is. But here's what I want you to see. She was on the move. She was moving forward. She was stepping into a new season of her life. Her children, her husband, and her life had been spared. They were moving into a new realm, a new experience of life. It was God's mercy. There was a new city for them. There was something better than Sodom and Gomorrah. And she decides that she wants to look back. And when she looks back, not only does she become a pillar of salt, here's what really happens. She stays stuck there. She wrecked her moment of freedom and deliverance where God was taking her, what God was doing in that moment. She completely wrecked it because she looked back. She looked back. See, as long as you keep looking behind you, you'll spoil what God is doing presently in your life. Just realized that I was supposed to have a picture that I wanted to show you of myself and Pastor Annette when we got married. It's a good thing I didn't put it up, to be honest with you. Not because of her, but because of me, man. I was 180 pounds soaking wet. Had a full head of hair. And then I started working with adults in a church. You know I love you, right? But that's a true story. When I was a youth pastor, I had all my hair. I started losing it after I started working. But I love you. But I'll tell you what I'm thinking about as I'm closing out here tonight. There's a line in every wedding ceremony that says, "Forsaking all, I will keep myself only unto you for as long as we both shall live." Now I look back on that day and I realize how much I could have missed if I had not fully committed. And I'm going to tell you why this is so important to our faith, to following Jesus. Because you never realize what you've lost until it's lost and gone. And, man, we have had an amazing journey, and we have so much more ahead. I don't even know what it is in full detail, but, I mean, every year, every day, it just gets better and better in our marriage and our family. And I don't just mean our immediate family, in this family, in this church, in this community. God is just blessed and blessed and blessed. And I think about everything I could have missed, everything I could have wrecked, if I just looked back. My friend, we never know how good we really have it. But can I tell you, what you don't want to find out is how much you missed and how much you messed it up. Don't wreck your life. Don't wreck your journey with Jesus. Because you're looking to what you're leaving. Let it go. I believe that tonight, what each and every one of us has had is a genuine encounter with Jesus. I believe that what we've experienced tonight is a real defining moment that, like, we're at a crossroads. It's a decision. They say that in our lifespan, there are 5 to 7 life-defining decisions that we make. The thing is, when you make it, you don't realize it. But we can all look back at moments in our life where we go, my life changed in this direction from that moment. I dare say that for some of us, this is one of those moments. Because for the very first time, we're faced with the reality. Like, we really get it and we understand it. I gotta leave this. Like, I have to leave this. I have to leave this habit. I have to leave this problem. I have to leave this person. I have to leave this mindset. I have to leave this struggle. I have to leave this comfort. I have to leave these hobbies. Whatever it is. And friend, you're not making a sacrifice. Tonight it's an investment. Man, I prophesy to you exactly what the word says. I don't have to say it for God. He says it in his word. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of men, the things that God has in store for you. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here at Church of the Bridge today. I pray that you had a personal encounter with God, that he spoke to you powerfully, and that he met you at your place of need with this message. I also want to encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. By doing so, you'll be able to check out past messages, past events that we've done. You'll also be able to see what's happening now and those things that are to come. And lastly, I'd like to invite you to join with us in all that God is doing with your giving. Feel free to do so on our website. Again, thank you again for joining us, and I can't wait to connect with you next week.